We are continuing our series on prayer. And for that, let's turn to our foundation text, Matthew chapter 6, beginning with the 5th verse. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with the 5th verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord is on our side. Amen. 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 The technology isn't, but the Lord is. Matthew chapter 6, verse, beginning with verse 5. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward, listen to this, in full. They get nothing from God. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not be meaningless. Do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Father God, I thank you that we have gathered here to hear your word, to receive your word, because we love your word, and we will use our will to do your word. I pray that we have ears to hear, a heart to believe, a mind to receive, and the will to do it. Father, let every syllable that I speak be spoken to your glory, for your glory, for your honor. Every syllable. May you be glorified. May you be magnified. It's all about you and only you. It's all about you. Have your way, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Prayer, again, personal, intimate communion with God. It is conversation, dialogue, discussion, two-way communication with our Father God. I hope we can catch it every time we hear that. It's be like, wow, we get to really have an intimate communication with the God of the universe, the creator of everything, the savior of the world, almighty, eternal God. We get to come into his presence and not die, not receive wrath, but grace. Remember, that's what prayer is. And then the purpose of prayer, of course, is to bring glory to God, to bring him honor, to worship and glorify him. Amen. Having said that, let's go to our second foundation text as we're talking about prayers that we pray for, word of life. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisies and all envies and all slanders," verse 2, "like newborn infants, long for the pure, unadulterated word of God, which is able to save our souls. The Word of God that has been given to us, the eternal Word that has saved us. And the reason is that we may grow in the sanctification. Grow, grow, grow. We ought to be growing. And that's why there should be daily examination. Daily examination by the Holy Spirit. Are we growing in the things of God? Or are we like the Corinthians, as we read on Sunday, continuing to be flesh ruled and allowing our flesh to have us operate or live this life as mere unchanged men and women of God? Are we growing or are we stagnant? Remember, we said there really isn't stagnation. Automatically means you're going backwards, right? There's no neutral. So we want to, like newborn babies, long for this pure milk. Let's go back to verse 1 as we're reviewing. Back to verse 1. Therefore, we found out that this goes back to chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Because we've been born again. Because we've been born again by an eternal word. We are now new creations. He's saying, therefore, as a result of that, being a new creature in Christ Jesus, put aside, which means to rid ourselves of all aspects, all facets, all parts, all phases, all components of the old life. We ought to separate ourselves from the old hindrances that hang on us from our residual fallenness. Yes, we are born again. Yes, we have renewed minds. Yes, we have the mind of Christ. Yes, our hearts have been made new, but we still have flesh. And in that flesh is residual sin. We dealt with that in a previous series. Well, here, because we are born again, we are to separate ourselves from that old life. We need to stop doing what we were accustomed to do before we were born again. And we need to do this, remember it's in the aorist tense, we need to do this once and for all. Once and for all. Well, what are we to put aside? All malice. It's a general term for wickedness and evil. We are to put aside all deceit. That's fraud, falsehood, dishonesty, treachery, betrayal, disloyalty. It's a lot of words in that: deceit, fraud, falsehood, dishonesty, treachery, betrayal, disloyalty. Not only putting aside malice and deceit, we need to put aside all hypocrisies. Hypocrisies. That's where we're picking up now. We'll start there. It refers to the act of impersonation or deception, to impersonate, to deceive. It was used of an actor on the Greek stage and refers to a person who assumes the mannerisms and speech and character of someone else, thus hiding their true identity. So when these actors, actresses, when these folks would get on stage in Greek culture, they would wear a mask. They would hold it up, usually with a stick attached, and they would wear the mask. We've gone over this a ton of times, but bear with me. And the mask may have the mouth curled upward, right, representing a smile. But behind the mask, there may be a frown going on. So what you are presenting is different from who you really are. That's hypocrisy. When we wear the mask, those who are born again, when we go out and we're wearing the mask of the world, when in actuality we are children of God, that's hypocrisy. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Let me show you this. Let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12. You're familiar with this. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. The word conform means to outwardly look like the world. There's the mask. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, who you really are inwardly, let that shine forth. How does that happen? Through the renewing or the renovating of our mind. So when he says don't be conformed to this world, it's in the stop acting like the world. Stop looking like the world. Remember the definition again of hypocrisy is to assume the mannerisms, speech, and character of someone else. And that someone else would be the world. Thus hiding our true identity, which is a child of God, partakers of his divine nature. So when we are thinking like the world, when we are speaking like the world, when our speech and mannerisms and character is looking like the world, sounding like the world, then at that moment we're wearing a mask. Let's go back to Peter, 1 Peter, because he says we are to lay that aside, separate ourselves from that kind of behavior once and for all. I'm just talking with someone about this yesterday about, you know, we want to be around folks that's going to encourage us spiritually. Yes. And really call us out when we are wearing that mask. Mm-hmm. Right? I want somebody, hey, yeah, that sounds a little sideways there. I don't know about that. Brother Greg? Mm-hmm. You want to protect your community. Those who you allow into your inner circle, you want to come protect that. Why? Because they have access to your eye gate and your ear gate. They get to talk to you. And if it's someone that you congregate, that you fellowship with fairly regularly, you really want to monitor who they are. Because they have an influence over you. They speak to you. And if that person isn't speaking that what thus saith the Lord, and not only are they not speaking that, but they're actually speaking the opposite of what doesn't say the Lord and cause you to sort of pull away from the things of God because of what they said, that type of person you need to monitor. You need to monitor your inner circle. Those who are close to you. Now, I believe I'm speaking this by the Holy Spirit tonight, right now. Because you may have folks in your circle, you think they're all right. They're harmless. It's no big deal. But I believe the Spirit of the Lord is telling us, his children, to re-examine that. Re-examine who's in your inner circle, including family, including your best friend from junior high. That make a difference. If they're not speaking things of God, if they're not encouraging you to walk closer to the Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to say this, you need to cut them loose. Take the offense, take the hurt, the pain, because you've known them for so many years. Brother Chris has a tremendous testimony on that. Tremendous testimony. Why? Because God is more important. Because your walk with the Lord is more important than an earthly friendship with somebody who's not going to cause you to walk close with the Lord. And I'm going to say this is a hard thing to say, but they really are not your friend. That's hard saying. Oh, come on now. I know this in junior high. I just told you that. We've been knowing each other. You know, this. Then you need to redefine what a friend is, biblically speaking, and not societally speaking. Because a friend that God has given is going to stick with you through the hard times. They're going to encourage you. And another way, girl, shoot. Now, I wouldn't worry about that. Pray for me, Susu. Because they're telling you things. When they tell you to worry about that, that is the things of God. You telling them, well, you know, I really need to walk in love toward them. And I did me wrong, but girl, I would have never took that. You know, I think you need to go give them a piece of your mind. I'm telling you, I believe it by the Holy Ghost. Monitor your inner circle. I said your inner. I'm not talking about acquaintances. You follow me? I'm not talking about people on the job. That they're out there. The inner circle. Sister Rolanda Danielle Crouch Harris, the first, last, and one and only, is in my inner circle. She's my number one. She got to get all them titles. All them titles. The first, the last, and the one and only. She's in my innermost sanctum. That is my best friend by a million miles. Period. Thank God that I can teach you this and lead by example. Because in my inner circle is her. And she encourages me and she'll let me have it when I need to have it. And I want that. We are of the body of Christ. We're all members individually, but Ephesians lets us know, but we're all working together. And when one thing goes, one member goes down, it affects the other, just like in your body. You don't believe something? Let your little toe hurt. Man, your whole head be hurting. You can't walk right. You're throwing your knee out of joint because you got to change how you walk. All from the little toe. So when I say make sure that all your friendships have been ordained by God, when I say it that way, we're not just talking about you picking and choosing friends. I'm not talking about, because if you think about it, our entire life up until we were taught this, and I wasn't taught it until after 30 years on earth, that you are to let God choose your friends. And when you let God choose your friends, He's going to bring into your life that which edifies Him and you. Amen? And I'm talking about family too. Yes, you at the reunion, you got to be with family. But even then, you still listen to the Lord, because you can go and sit off at a table by yourself. You have to sit up and listen to all the nonsense. Or you may see a cousin that's over by themselves, and Lord said, go over and y'all go sit with her or him. You follow me? You're still being led, even in family. Jesus said, if you choosing him and a family member doesn't, he said, your foes and your enemies may be even in your own household. So he knows you're not going to always get along. If you're born again, you are a sharer and a partaker of the divine nature. And if your family member is not born again, then they are a sharer and a partaker of Satan's nature. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. That's why it's so disappointing to think that the 11th commandment is thou shalt be nice. It's not nice. It may not sound nice, rather, when you say your childhood friend from 8th grade, 3rd grade, kindergarten, you've known all these years, if they're not saved, they are a child of Satan. And that's a hard thing. I said, if they're not saved. Got to be careful who's in your ear. Jesus said, when you hear something, I'm paraphrasing, and the amount of attention and the value that you place on what you just heard is what you'll reap from what you just. So if you place little value on the word of God and you've heard it, and then you reap very little from it, if anything at all. You follow me? But if you place a large value on it and you honor it for what it is, the word of God, well, that same thing for hearing garbage. When I say a human being has access, that inner circle has access, what they're saying to you, has access to your ears. If they say something to you that you place value on, and it's not godly, you see, I'm going to, it's going to be a problem. Because that's not the word of God. It's not the word of God. Sometimes we think, well, it's no big deal to hear something. I mean, you're just hearing it. Yeah, but there's a chance that you begin to value that. Meditate on it. Think about it. And sometimes, I'm going to say as a punishment from the Lord, you heard it, you knew you shouldn't have heard it, but now you can't get it off your mind. Ooh-wee. Can't stop thinking about that. Yep, because you wasn't supposed to hear it in the beginning. And you knew it. How many times we do things wrong, walking into it and do it anyway, knowing you shouldn't be doing it. That's flesh rule. That's a classic example of being ruled by your flesh. I want to do this, even though I know it's wrong. And we want to blame God when we're sick and got all kind of things going wrong. You set yourself up for it. You reap what you sow. I thought you were just talking about the inner circle. Yep, it can lead to all of that down the road. All because you heard something, and that person was able to speak into your life the negative thing because you didn't get rid of them. I guess I'm a blessed person, I guess, because in my family, they know we holy and righteous, me and Rolanda. So they just don't come around. Miss Cheryl, I know when folks ain't doing right, I don't hear from them. We turn into lepers. I mean, just a walking virus. You just don't come around. Ooh-wee. Am I right, Sister Rolanda? Don't come around. I said your lifestyle ought to attract or repel. Period. All the Lord is begging us to do is just live right. And don't let outsiders influence us as his children. Don't let them do it. Count your friendship with God. Count your being friends with God more important than being friends with a human being. I don't care who they are. Now, I'm not talking about marriage in a sense. You can't go, oh, cool, I can divorce. Yes. Hallelujah. There is a God. Yes. No. Because 1 Corinthians 7 says if the husband or the unbeliever is willing to wanted to stay with you as a married person, you got to stay in it. Then you got to put the 1 Corinthians 13, the behaviors of love series in motion. That's what you got to do then. It's not easy, but never said it was. And I keep reiterating that. Never said it was going to be easy. But boy, is it worth it. But the peace you're talking about, this, that came at a great price. Our peace, remember Isaiah 53, I think it is, and about verse 3 or 4, somewhere in there, it says, and the King James Version, the chastisement of our peace was finished, was laid on him. Yeah, fell upon him. And by his bruises, stripes, we are healed. Isaiah 53, and I think it's 3 and 4, somewhere in there. We have peace because he took a beating. So when you told me that, auntie, girl, this pastor rejoiced because I know that came from the Word of God. Because he's a prince of peace. And that's whose peace we have from the prince of peace. And remember, his peace works in the storm. In the storm, the blackest of night, the most midnightest of hours. Thank you. His peace is there.
Thank you, Lord.
Ooh, hey. Ooh, wee. I mean, there's some time where it looks like you don't know if you're going to make it to the next second because it's just that heavy on you. Sometimes you can't hardly breathe. Sometimes you can't even stand hardly. I mean, literally the strength is just draining out your body because of the weight of the trial. But he's right there.
Thank you, Lord.
He's the one who sticketh closer than a brother. He's there with you in the fire. Another in the fire, another in the water. You're never alone in those situations. I'm speaking to myself too. Never alone. And boy, oh boy, when you're real vulnerable, I mean, you are broken and you're vulnerable. Do you understand why the Lord is saying, be careful who you listen to in that vulnerable moment, because you may latch on to anything just trying to get some relief. Do you understand that? You are in a dangerous, more opportune time for Satan to come in with some nonsense through your best friend from third grade. Do you hear what I'm saying? And you go from out of the frying pan into the fire. Because it was rough. Like, so you barely could walk. Hardly no weight. Standing, nothing. Equilibrium all off. And they tell you something crazy and you believe it because you're so vulnerable. You're so desperate. And you believe that and you jump into the fire. It's got worse. Amen. I'd like to believe that was for us, just a side note, because we just talked about hypocrisy and it went into all of that. So I like to believe that was a word for us from the Lord. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you. And Father, we receive that word and we will examine our friends, those who we're in a relationship with. That's easy for me. I'm blessed. I know I am. I know I am. I know it. Because my circle is Brooke and Brianna, it's Rolanda, Brooke and Brianna, Joe, and Mother. That's in the inner circle. And then right outside of this, Word of Life. So I'm blessed. When I leave here, I ain't out with Pook and them. Ray Ray and TT and Tay Tay. Shaniqua. Yeah, Shaniqua. No, me. I don't know Shaniqua. I know Rolanda. But I don't know Shaniqua. Amen. We're making it a little comical, but it's really can be very deadly to be around the wrong person at the most vulnerable time. Miss Cheryl said, am I right, Miss Cheryl? It can literally cost you your life. I've been very transparent about my father's death. I honestly believe that someone spoke to him about fasting. I really do. And I've been very transparent before you. And that information literally cost him his life. Because he didn't have the proper explanation. And I don't care. Someone once asked me, do you think that people get bored when you just go over your time? I said, I don't care. I'm explain and explain and explain and explain and explain. Because if somebody would have taught my father, then he would have received it. Now I ain't tripping on it. He would be here today and all that. I know that, you know, that he wasn't gonna live a day past July 11th, 1968. Period. But I am also saying that Habakkuk, I think it is, Hosea 6 and 5, I think, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So when I tell you that a wrong word at the wrong time can be deadly, I literally mean that. Because you can take information, not have the proper explanation behind it, and it can cost you your life. Or you can take information and rebuke it, not receive it because you want to do something else. And that can cost you your life. I understand that what I do is extremely important for us, not just you, for us. And that is teaching God's word so that we can understand it. I'm about to start running. I'm so thankful to be up under this ministry. And I am up under just as much as you are. It's not like I'm the pastor and you the, no, we're the congregation. I told you, I just don't take my seat there. I stand here. But I'm in the congregation just like you. And guess what? When I walk out there, I have to obey just like you. I have to watch my circle, watch what I hear, and so forth and so on. Somebody need to turn off the TV. Because what you're hearing is influencing you as well, away from the things of God. It's just a word there too. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're back at hypocrisy. Wearing the mask. Hiding our true identity. Saying that sounds so terrible. Why would we hide who we are in God, who God has created? Remember, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2 and 10, I think. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why would you hide that? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you want to be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Why would we hide that? Let the world, let your light so shine before men that they may see. When we wear the mask, we're hiding. And then Paul Lawrence Dunbar, I think it was, yes, we wear the mask that grins and lies, I think, hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. That's exactly what hypocrisy is. It's to not let folks see who you are in Jesus' name. What a dishonor, what a blast. That's a strong word, but I got to think that's a blasphemous act. Jesus takes a horrible beating so that we can be transformed into his image from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And we go out and hide all that because we want to do something else. Lord God, forgive us. We all need to fall on our knees before God and say, forgive us of this heinous sin. Hiding who he has created us to be. That's our true identity. We talked about our supreme identity, did we not, about 6-7 years ago? our supreme identity, our prominent identity, our number one identity, our premier identity is first spiritual. Before your ethnicity, your culture, your economic standing, your social standing, you are first a Christian. You're first a child of God who happens to be black, who happens to be white, who happens to be Arab, or whatever it is. You follow me? We are first spiritual. And that's why Jesus, the Apostle Paul, says that we're no longer Jew nor Greek. Our ethnicity doesn't make a difference. We're no longer bond or free. Our social and economic standing, rich or poor, doesn't make any difference. We're no longer male or female, even our gender, for all are one in Christ Jesus. So spiritually speaking, all of your natural, physical, earthly traits and standings and culture and ethnicities all are swallowed up into your spiritual status. And that is in Christ Jesus. The others don't disappear. You follow me? They are subservient, I guess, to our identity in Christ, which is supreme. Mm-hmm. Having said that, since we are first spiritual beings, to then wear the mask to hide that identity is blasphemous to our Creator, who created us twice, right? First time physically, second time spiritually. That's why I told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That Greek word means anew, born from above, born of God. I don't think we realize this. I know I didn't quite realize it to this degree, that we're hiding who and what God has created personally himself. All for our, what we want, for our glory, for our honor. That's hypocrisy. We are to be open with one another. And the old phrasing is above board, right? Here, all our cards be on the table. No surprises. We're to be ourselves. Oh boy, you were saying that, and this stuff. Yeah, let me quickly explain that. Be ourselves means that we are to be before others who we are before God. What does that mean? Does not God see us all the time?
Yeah.
Coram Deo, Latin for before the face of God. We live out our lives before the face of God. So when the lights go out and darkness falls, God is still seeing us as if it were noonday. And who he sees then is who we are to be when we are before others. Does that make sense? Because who we are before God is who we really, is all who we really are. That's it. Not who you can wear the mask and fool. But you can fool others, I'm going to say, all the time. But you can never fool God. And God is saying, take that mask away, because I see behind your mask. I already see it. I'm commanding you, lay aside that mask and show the world who I have made you to be in front of them. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Most High. And you will praise his name, and not just verbiage, not in word, but you'll do it in deed, action, and in truth. So let us not love in word. Let us not love with speech. Let's not love with verbiage. See, but in action, in deed, and in truth. That's how you love God. Action. Let your light so shine before men. I've given you a light. I've put the light in you. The light of my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your elder brother. Let that light shine before others. The mask blocks the light. You see what I'm saying? It deflects it. It dulls it. Get rid of the mask. Let us be before God. Let us be rather before others who we are before God. Finishing up verse 2 and we'll close. One more time. Just flies every amazing. And envy. Envy is a state of ill will towards someone because of some real, listen to this, or presumed advantage experienced by them. Maybe they didn't really get the advantage, but you presume they did, and you got ill will because of something that really didn't even happen. But it's a state of ill will towards someone because of a real or presumed advantage experienced by them. Another way of saying it, it is the feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others. You hear that someone else got a new car, got a job, got a raise, and you're upset about it because you didn't get it. Because now they are above you or better than you, in a sense, that's what you're saying, because they got a new car, you're still an old car. They got a raise when you're all working on the same thing. And so their advantage is because you didn't get it. That's envy. And lastly, and all slander, get rid of all slander. Slander means to speak evil of someone, to backbite, to lie against them, to defame them. Those are some ugly words. Deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. So put it all aside. Separate yourself from them. Stop doing those things that you were once accustomed to doing before you came to Christ. And we'll pick up next week, Lord willing, like newborn babies, long for the milk of the word. So get rid of the sin. Get rid of the sin, and you clear yourself to crave the word of God. Amen. We'll pick up with that next time, Lord willing. Father God, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for helping us to do the hard thing. If there's someone we need to go to tell them, hey, we can't be friends anymore. I'm not going to tell you, give us the strength. We have the strength to do it. I'm not going to tell you, please help us. You will help us. I'm telling you, help us in a sense, because you said we can come to you because you are our helper. So in that sense, help us to use the strength we already have to do that which is difficult for your glory. Help me not to sacrifice your glory for my comfort. Help us to accept being uncomfortable for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.